Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it is Tuesday, the 21st. It's 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 Central, 1 Mountain, and noon Pacific. And we have a really great show. We have Elizabeth Black. Karen Vaughn is supposed to be here from Canada, and we have a special visitor, Marnie McNiff. And we also have Bethany, who is my sidekick here, and she's here today. And hopefully everybody will stay on. Hi. I just wanted to say a few little words before we bring everybody on. I just wanted to say how sorry we all are about what's happening in Oklahoma and the tragedy surrounding the whole United States with the bad weather, tornadoes. It's really a disaster. And so that's why today we're going to have some fun, because people need to have some fun. We have so much trauma in this world. And we were talking about that before the show, about all the tragedies we had this year. It's been a tough year, and so our heart goes out to everybody there, and hopefully everything will resolve, you know, as quickly as it can, because they have a lot of people helping out there. So we are sorry, and so we will go on with the show, because we want we want to be happy and peppy and try to keep this world going in a better place. So, all right, on that note, all right, then I will say a few messages so I won't forget anything. Okay, first of all, Marnie is on our show, and I really appreciate her for coming on. She's the media consultant for Michigan Avenue Media, and she's been helping me a lot. But she's going to have to leave earlier. She has her children coming home, so we don't want them to wait at the bus.
I have bus duty.
Right, and you know what? Kids do not like when you're late.
No.
They do not like that. Parents cannot be late. We have some really good shows coming up, and well, Wednesday's show, the 22nd, is with R. Jeffries, who is with us, and his show is at 5:30 Central Time, and it is 6:30 Eastern. And then we have J.D. has a show, and it's 8 o'clock. That's not for us. That's the Central. It's 9 Central, and it's 8. Yeah, it's kind of early. And she's in New York. So it's a really cute show, and that's on 3 Saturdays a month. And then Fran Lewis has a show on next Thursday, but we have a holiday in between. I'm not on. I think I'm not on. I should not say I'm not on, because possibly I might find a show that I might want to do. But we have a lot of shows coming up that are going to be great. And we do have the Sizzling Hot Romance show coming on with, that's on the 4th. That's a good story. But we do have the Hot Sizzling Romance show. That's a separate show that Madison Montgomery, who I am Madison Montgomery, and I'm trying not to confuse myself, let alone everybody else that listens to me. But that will be on, and we're going to have from the Lady Jane Salons. It's such an interesting concept. They're trying to get them all over the world. It's on romance, and where they do, you know, they have conversations, and it's such an interesting concept. They'll be on the 4th. On a Friday, I'll be doing a show. And on the 4th, it's going to be Bethany found somebody who is so interesting, Andrea Perrone. Bethany, right? Andrea, she's supposed to come on the 4th. And she lived in a house with ghosts. And it's going to be really interesting. I've asked Candy O'Donnell to come on, who loves this, and Willow Cross. So they may join us. I don't know. But we're having Andrea Perrone, who's going to be very interesting. She has a movie coming up from her book in the summer. So interesting.
Conjuring.
And we have it's really, it's going to be very interesting, and probably scary, because this is real. I mean, you know, this is something that really happened with her and her four sisters. All right, so with that said, we're going to bring, you know, I have Elizabeth Black on and Marnie on, and Karen is supposed to come on, but we'll see what happens. Okay, Marnie, I wanted you to talk just for a few minutes. Elizabeth will come, you know, Elizabeth is in the conversation, so hi ladies, how are you?
Hello.
And Elizabeth is a frequent visitor. She's actually usually a co-host when we do some of the horror shows. But she does a lot of – she's been doing this a lot of years, and she does a lot of everything, you know. Am I not connected?
No,
I am. It's coming up. All right. I think we just lost somebody. No. Nope. Yes, we did. We just lost. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. I want to just continue this. Yeah, Bethany got lost. All right, she was lost. It came up on my screen. All right, Marnie, now this may be a very fast show, and we might have Later. All right. Okay, Marnie. I'm talking about ghosts. What can I say? Okay. All right. All right. You want to talk a little bit about the media that you do, that I'm doing, you know, you're doing for me, because as authors, we're having such a hard time figuring out what to do. So do you want to talk about what you really think is necessary? And before
sure.
One quick thing before I forget. Mikey Brooks, he has done some of my logos, and that is one thing that people should have, regardless of if you just started writing, if you're writing, some sort of a little logo that is you. Okay, and his company is Lost Treasure Illustrating, and so you'll see different logos, and I think that's one thing people need, which we haven't said enough of.
Right.
Okay, and right, and so, all right, Marnie, go
something
ahead,
for people to identify with,
yes.
too, identify
right.
you as a brand, yeah.
Right.
But what I've been doing for Marcia and a few other clients is basically, I think people don't know where to start once they've published their book, or even in the process. So what we've been doing is building up Facebook and Twitter and also Pinterest and you know, getting the buzz out there about the author, about their, you know, new releases, about back releases, kind of generating buzz, generating excitement, and getting their name out there, which is really what this is all about. We have so many great books published, but not a lot of people know what to do once they've you know, published and they've gone through the editorial process and all of that. It's where do we go from here to sell the books? And I think that's kind of what we're trying to offer to help people to get started, you know, at a reasonable low-cost rate, how to get started promoting yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's not
something
they teach
you. But I think that has to last. I mean, you have to do
yes.
that. I mean, you can't really stop promoting. I mean, Elizabeth will know this too, and Bethany, we know we're always doing, you know, PR, and most of us don't have time to do it, and we keep saying we're not going to do it like me, and then I start to do it, and then I'm thinking I'm not writing, and so I think this is a problem. Elizabeth, do you want to say what you're thinking about this, or, you know, how you're feeling about this, marketing?
I tend to, I'm very regimented, and I tend to block my day off in segments, like by hour by hour. So I will block off 2 hours to either write or edit, because right now I'm in the editing stage of one of my novels, and I expect it to be finished by the end of the week, so then I can send it out to publishers. But, I mean, like, the first thing, I understand that 9 o'clock in the morning and I believe it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon are supposed to be the good times when people are checking out Facebook.
Really?
So I'll make my big announcement, and I keep it really short, you know, announcement with a link, and I do
yeah.
that at 9 o'clock. And Monday, of course, is promo day on Yahoo Groups, so I'll just go crazy on there. But only do that kind of thing once a week, because the problem is a lot of writers don't seem to understand that when you spam people, it turns them off. And you know, you don't want to turn people off with finding your books. And I mean, I break up my day. I start off with Facebook, and then I check Twitter to see if anybody responded to me, because I have Twitter set up so that. Actually, I have Facebook set up so that my posts automatically go over to Twitter, and then I check to see if anybody responds to them. But I'd say by 11 o'clock, I finish the first round of that stuff, and then I'll start again with some brief promotions in the afternoon, like around 3 o'clock, between 3 and 5. And then if I'm still awake at 9
yeah.
o'clock, I'll do a little bit more then. I mean, I'm not a night person. I'm not a night owl. I'm definitely a lark. So
yeah.
I get my best stuff done early in the morning. But I think you need a balance. You have to make the time to write, and you have to make the time to do the promotions. Because if you get overwhelmed with one or the other, you're going to get resentful.
Which is what happens, though. I think people do that. And, Marnie, like when you put, you know, you're not big on putting the same thing over and over. You put other things in, right? You just don't
right.
put straight.
We, you know, a lot of what we do is even just something funny, posting stuff. People don't want to see all sales, all
yeah.
you pushing
mm-hmm.
your book. You need to do something to get people interested in you as a writer and what you're posting. And a lot of times, even on Facebook, if it's just sharing one of those funny little blurbs or something
yeah.
that we can all relate to as writers and editors and things like that, there's a lot of fun stuff around. And I think if people start to look for you and see that kind of stuff, as well as your promotions, you're getting the good balance. If you push sales over and over and over, you know, I know I'm not looking anymore. So I, you know, I can imagine what other people in your genre are thinking. It's you need that balance of engaging
mm-hmm.
your readers with something entertaining too.
Oh, I definitely agree with you, because I mean, one thing that I do, when you're talking about being funny, I'll often post pictures that have, you know, the little the memes and the sayings on them. And
yes.
I try to find ones that people aren't all that familiar with. And another one that I, well, like an example of one that I did that was actually pretty popular was the meme that says, "You are about to be visited by the zombie apocalypse. Your weapon is the first item on your left. What is it?" And then people will start responding in comments.
Yeah.
You know, say things like, "Oh boy, I have a massage oil. I'm going to massage the zombies to death." You know, that sort of thing. And it gets people talking, and it's fun. It's a little different.
Well, Elizabeth, you do get people talking. You have some very strange things that come out.
I find all kinds of strange stuff.
But that's your writing. Your writing, you know, you're not the average.
Oh, I write strange stuff. Yeah.
Well, right.
I mean,
right.
I don't only write romance. I write horror and dark fiction.
Yes.
So I'm constantly finding the weirdest stuff all over the internet, and I let everybody else know what it is, and they begin to wonder about
right.
me after a while.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's interesting that, you know, and Bethany, you're on, Bethany, I know, because I see you on the screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bethany writes really funny quips, and I told her to put that on again, right, Bethany? For ours,
right.
our authors. I
mean,
right. that, you know, you don't talk that much, but she has an incredible sense of humor. Naturally, listening to me all the time, you might have to have that. And every idea that I keep coming up with every 5 minutes. But... do you want to talk a little bit about our blog? About what our blog is? Go ahead. Well, we probably can't, yeah. All right, well, that didn't. Okay, all right, I'll talk about our blog because we're not here. Okay, all right, our blog is called Authors Talk Romance, and what we do is we're putting in a lot of, you know, I have to just continue here. Okay. We're putting in a lot of different romance writers at different times, and we're going to make them shorter now because we're seeing so many blogs now that, I mean, Marnie, we've talked about this too. There's so many people out there doing blogs, and I think people just want to look at something for a few minutes and say funny and whatever, and, it's, you know, they're not commenting, which we already know a lot of times, but we don't want to keep giving them the same thing over and over again. You know,
right.
Marnie, how do you feel about what this whole phase now of everybody doing over and over the blog, long blogs? No, though. So
yeah,
happening?
I think shorter tends to be better. You need some sort of graphic. If people look on and see 1,500 words of text on any kind of book review or any subject, you're losing them. I think they should stay to a much shorter word count, keep it punchy, succinct, and then you'll get readers. And I do think that graphics are important, even in a blog post. You need something to break up the text.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what they're looking for now. I mean, you know, like 3 years ago, even, I mean, it's grown the amount of people on Facebook and Twitter and all of these things. Well, Facebook, again, you know, I don't know why they keep taking me off, because I'm who's ever out there listening, I don't want to be rude to people. I am confirming you, but they're not happy with this. I don't know why. I have now 11 more days of my punishment. I do not know why I am being punished. I never did like punishment. But it's happening. Why do you think they're doing? I don't know why they're doing that. It doesn't make sense. I'm confirming people that are coming to me. So, I mean, they're nice enough to listen to my shows. I want to include them. But Facebook is probably not agreeing on this. I don't know why. You know, this is the second time it's happening. And the way they say it, they go like, okay, 11 more days till punishment is over. They do say that. They're giving me the countdown. You know, and I don't understand it. Some of my messages go through, but even if I think they're going through, I'm not sure that they are. So, I mean, I do a lot with my blog, you know, and I do with my websites now. I don't know what to do. You know, a lot of people this is happening to. So, I mean, it's this is a social network. So if you're taking someone
to
the right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know what I'm doing right, but so far I haven't been spanked or slapped or anything.
Yeah,
but
if you're requesting too many friends, they'll put a freeze on you. But I've never heard them put a freeze on people.
I'm not requesting friends. But if I had an event, see, I did have an event, and I'm changing a few things because I know for a fact a lot of people are not seeing my things. I'm not seeing theirs. So I'm trying to make people aware of the fact that we have to keep refriending people only because they're not seeing our work. You know, like I don't see a lot of people that I saw before. So I actually, before the show, I did private message some people, and you know, about the show because it's not, you know, we're not finding out different things. It's not only me. It's a lot of people. So I don't really know what the answer is, but, you know, we're all trying. And that's why, you know, Marty, when you're doing different things and what you've decided to do is, and I agree with, not every day because you can't do this every day. I think that people really do get upset if you study.
Yeah, they do. They don't want to see it every day. I mean, unless like I said, if you're posting some of those memes or pictures or something funny, that stuff you could put up every day. But they just don't want to see you pushing your book every day. It's not, I don't think that's good for sales.
And I think, you know, when you're out there, you know, we all have the logos that we have, you know, but if you change it up and put, I think a logo does help because I think it looks, you know, you can see who the person is. But I also know that you can't keep doing it over and over again because people do not like it. I do most of my things for the show, and that's really what I do. And, you know, that's what, Marty, you're doing for me. You take care of my social networking. And so, and I think it works very well when authors get a break from doing that because, like, you do get frustrated, and I think that a writer, the last thing in the world a writer has to do is get frustrated because they're frustrated enough when they're writing, you know, if they get aggravated. And
you
know,
you want the time to concentrate on what you want to do, which is writing and creating new material. If you're not creating the new material, there's not going to be a lot to promote.
Right,
so there
right.
needs to be some sort of balance. So, you know, definitely having somebody help with the social media takes a lot off your plate because it could be a full-time job doing just trying to promote yourself. So getting a little help in that area, you know, is working for a lot of people because then they can concentrate on what they need to do, creating new material and working on their writing.
See, I think the
I know that, I mean, I was going to say that I know a lot of people have a hard time trying to find a balance between just posting fun stuff to engage people and posting stuff about their books. Because I know that if you promote yourself in places like Goodreads or Kindle boards, you will get slapped. I mean, you will get slapped good and hard because the readers don't like it. But then the thing is, how do you engage the reader and then not talk about your book but get them interested in it at the same time? So that's another problem that I've seen a lot of, that, you know, people don't quite know how to use places like Goodreads or Kindle boards.
Yeah, see, I, you know, when I get on Goodreads, I go, I don't think I can do this, and I leave because it's just, you know, it's so involved, and especially when you have different categories like I do, it's like, oh, my God, I don't think I can, you know, then I leave, you know, and it's really a very complicated site if you have different, you know, things going on in your life, you know, and I, you know, and I do think that, you know, I mean, there's so much going on, but in some of the genres, you know, romance genres, it's huge. I mean, the romance is huge, and they have a lot of PR, and they're more, you know, accepting of it. You know, the children's books, I will say that if any of the children's authors are listening, Magic Block, which is MagicBlox, is coming back strong with a place where people can put their children's books on, and it's a very interesting concept. Jason Lane will be on in June and talking about it because the street teams and all the other things that everybody's working on for romance and horror and all the reviews, it's working for romance and horror writers, but it doesn't work for children's. And, Mary, you're doing my children's. You see there's a difference, right?
There's a huge difference. I think with the romance genre is huge. So I think you have so many people interested in reading that. Not that people aren't interested in reading children's books, but I think with children's books, it's a more difficult subject to promote on Facebook and Twitter because you want to interest the kids, and it's really not the young kids that are on. I mean, my kids are starting to be on Facebook, but they're not, you know, they're not actively looking for things like that. They're still interested in going to the bookstore and looking for material. So, but I think with romance, you have, you know, Facebook pages and sites devoted to romance readers where they're talking about all this material. There's so many sites like this to help promote your stuff that where you can kind of get in and get involved in the conversation, not necessarily jump to promoting yourself, but also you know, comment on other people's feeds. That's part of social networking, is you really need to look at other people's posts, not just get on, post your stuff, get off and get, you know, back to writing. You need to interact with people. The more you interact
right.
online, the more people are going to pay attention to you, too, and look
right.
at your stuff. You know, if you're looking at theirs, you're taking the time to look at their post, they would think twice about taking the time to look at yours. That's the experience I've had.
Yeah. See, yeah, I think that, you know, I think it just, it's all, you know, it's very new to a lot of people, regardless of what anybody thinks. It's very new,
yeah.
and I think people, you know, they try to go on, and they're not getting results right away. But, you know, it doesn't happen right away. It takes time
yeah.
to build up, you know, an audience of people. And, you know, it's very hard to get fans with so many people writing. You know, we have this authors talk romance and .blogspot.com, and Bethany and I do it, and it's, there's so many romance writers, and it is a lot of fun. But we also now opened a part where we're having questions for people to call in, or not call, well, not when we have a show maybe, but they can write in questions to Bethany or myself, and they can write it as their character. It's kind of like a love, you know, love column, you know, just questions, but don't write it as yourself. You can write it as your character, some kind of questions that you might have, and it might be fun to do, so we can do some interacting with the authors, you know, as their characters. We thought it would be a
yep.
good idea. I mean, Bethany, what do you think? I mean, how do you think that's going? Well, she might be off again. There we go. Okay. Well, you know, I think that, so I decided to, we put it up there, and, you know, it's going to be a slow start, but it's such an interesting concept, you know, questions people have. And this way we'll all be able to talk as our characters, and it might be fun, you know, and not as us, because I think people hear us enough. I mean, you know, so I'll go as my, you know, my Virginia Templeton, or people will go as their characters. And I think it'll be fun, so I hope people start, you know, doing this, it's something new to do, you know. I mean, I'm always looking for new things because I do get bored, you know, of things. So I think most people do, you know, and people want, some people would say how I possibly could get bored doing 5 million things, but I like to change it up a little, you know. So I think that for all of us will be fun, you know. And Elizabeth, you got an award, right?
Yes, yes. I just won a Night Owl top pick for my erotic novel, Don't Call Me Baby. And that one is a contemporary set in the 1980s. And the interesting thing about that one is that it actually falls into a fairly new category. It's called New Adult. And that's,
oh, that's the name of it. Okay,
that,
see, that's the name I
that's
was looking
the name,
for
that's
today.
That's the new big trend right now. There's stories about people, you know, men and women, you know, especially women for romances, that are around 18 and into their 20s, like
okay.
people that are in college. The college stories are really popular. And my book just happens to fit in that particular category. And the name of it is New Adult. And
right.
apparently it's crazy right now.
Yeah,
everybody's
I know.
Into
that's what
that.
They say. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's huge. So I'm just looking at the screen a little because I'm not, you know, I'm trying to see if Bethany's on. I don't think so. Okay. I think that
but
yeah,
when you
were talking about that.
Yeah, were talking about like forums and such stuff. One thing I've noticed is that you got to find where the readers are, because in too many of the places, it's the writers that are all in an echo chamber and they're talking to each other. Where
yeah.
I mean, and everybody is bombarding everybody with promo. And the thing is that you have to find where the readers are, which is kind of hard to do. And I mean, I like to go to Yahoo Loop chats and live chats at like Night Owl and Coffee Time. And in there, you know, we talk about, you know, we'll talk about the book of, you know, whatever book I'm promoting. But, you know, the readers will ask questions, and I always answer. And, you know, like with the Loop chats, I don't just bombard everybody with promo. I'll put up recipes and cat
yeah.
jokes. I'm big on cats. And, you know, that sort of thing. Funny news that I find, because I'm a total farker. And I just, anything goofy that I find, I like to post just to amuse people. Or I'll ask questions, you know, like, you know, what are your favorite romance movies? And just get a conversation going that way. But, you know, but keeping everything on topic. And it takes a bit more work, but, and especially with the groups, because there are more lurkers than there are actual people participating. But people are reading. You just don't know how many. And usually it takes a couple of days, but I start seeing an uptick in my sales when I do that kind of thing, when you're actually talking to people rather than talking at them.
Right.
And that helps a lot.
Right, which is a street team, which I think that, you know, I'll be doing and will be posting. Mm-hmm. You know, I will be doing that for, it's, you know, Madison's Miracles. That's the street team that Kim set up for me, who was on the other day. And these are all interesting concepts now. So, I mean, there's a lot of new things that writers can do, and so they don't get bored, and they do things, and they get out there. Because, you know, it's mm-hmm. surprisingly enough that a lot of people don't do as much PR as they should, because people aren't knowing who they are, and then they're wondering why they don't have book sales, or they're not, and, you know, people don't know them. But it takes a long time, Marnie. I mean,
it
I
does.
Think that's,
and
yeah.
One of the things that you did that I thought was a really great marketing tool was Marcia created a Pinterest page for her character. And that was fun because it was all things that her character, Virginia, from her romance novels would like, the sexy stilettos and lipstick and fun things. And I thought that was a very unique approach, and it generated, you know, buzz on who her character was.
Yeah.
I thought that was – there are creative ways to do it, and I thought that was a really creative way to get people interested in who her character was. Or I think you mentioned earlier doing a blog post as your character, from your character's point of view. Then people have, like, the inside scoop on your character. They'll want to know more. So I think, you know, these ideas are out there. I think people just need that creative spark to kind of get them going. A simple review on your book isn't doing what it did, you know, several years ago, because there's so many review sites.
Yeah, right. I think
that's something related to what you just said. Another popular one is character interviews, where you'll have the blogger will ask specific questions and you answer in the characters. Just as the character. And
I think those are great. Well, because I did that because I had a hard time doing it. Virginia Grenier, who is the other part of World of Ink, she does tours. She did tours, and she did my tour. And she's not doing the tours as much anymore, but the tours. But I said to her, I can't write it. I couldn't answer the questions. I said, this is not for me. She says, well, okay, fine, just write it in Virginia. I go, like, okay, fine. Or Madison, the author of it. I just couldn't write it as me. And, you know, and it worked out. And it was a lot of fun because we all know our characters. So, you know, and we know what they're dressed like and things like that. So I do think it's kind of fun to do that. I haven't been on Pinterest as much as I should be. I really do enjoy Pinterest. I think that if you steadily stay on Pinterest, they will find your books on Pinterest, you know. But you have to keep doing it. That's the whole thing. And, you know, we all get, you know, we start doing other things, which is, you know. But I've learned from Marnie that it doesn't have to be every day. So I think that
it really doesn't, and I think sometimes it's better that it's not every single day, you know. And unless, I mean, I wouldn't post something about your book every single day, definitely not. But but I, you know, I think the people who are looking for that type of material are not going to be swayed by an overzealous sales person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they want to give them subtle ways to get to know your character, pique their interest, but you don't. It doesn't have to be an everyday thing, but it does have to be. It does have to be done often. I would say, you know, a couple times a week, or you need to keep up with it. And that's something I think a lot of new writers are having to learn along the way, is that's really a part of the writing process now.
Yeah,
I like the Pinterest idea.
Yeah.
I like the Pinterest idea a lot. With, you know, having a character put up stuff that he or she likes.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that.
That's
fun. I like that. It is fun. And, you know, Fran Lewis had John Lefcroft on the show the other day, and it was really interesting because I'll be saying this probably forever because I loved what he said. He said that he has 24 books out. His first 6 books did not do well. On the 7th book, he changed some things around, and he's been popular ever since. And I thought, how great is that? Because he went, you know, because most people, they're so upset when the first couple books aren't really doing what they wanted to do. It takes time. Virginia and I had a whole conversation this morning about that, about it takes so much time, Stephen King. I mean, they keep writing. That's why you know who they are. And I think it just takes time. And my goal has always been for people to keep writing. So, I mean, when I heard that, I thought, I'm going to use this all the time, because 6 books he went through that were not successful like he wanted it to be. And in this day and age, it's really hard to be successful because there's only a small percentage of people that make a lot of money selling books. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't write them.
Right.
you know, and so
there's still a market. There's still a lot of readers out there. You know, you it just takes time, especially when publishing houses aren't, you know, a lot of the smaller ones aren't able to do that marketing for you.
Right.
So
and
it's right.
And you know,
I need to go get the bus. I'm gonna take off. It was great talking to everybody.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Okay. Well, so far there's three of us. We're still here. All right. We'll see how this goes. Karen never did come on. She might be having problems. So it's Elizabeth, you and I.
It's us. Yes.
Okay.
When you're talking about constantly keeping a book out there, I mean, I know a lot of people, like some people specialize in short stories, other people specialize in novels. And the problem with the novel is that it takes quite a bit of time to write one unless you never sleep. So, I mean, you could go for a couple of years in between books, and then, you know, the reader will forget about you until the next book comes out. Then you have to start all over again trying to get the attention. So one thing that I found that at least works for me is, like, I do write novels and novellas, but I also write short stories. And, I'm in two groups on Facebook. One group specializes in anthology submission calls for horror stories, and the other one is for science fiction, and mainly science fiction. So I'll keep track of all of that and keep submitting and submitting.
Let me ask you a question. I was just thinking of something while you were talking this. So you have small groups for – right. I'm wondering, are there a lot of groups for short story, the people that write the – because some of the short stories, you know, Bethany, she can't talk probably right now because she keeps going in and out, but – she has really good stories. She's with Reveling Press, as you know, and she writes great stories. And I'm wondering what kind of market there is, what we could do on the show or something with
apparently
the short stories.
Short stories are they're experiencing a resurgence because people, I mean, we have less time. People like to, you know, short stories are great for the e-readers because they're small, they're bite-sized. You can read one in less than 2 hours. And they're also a great way to introduce a new writer to you without investing a whole lot of time and money in a great big novel. You read a short story and you're like, hey, this is pretty good. And then you go and, you know, try to find their novels and then you go from there. And another one that I found that also works, it's also writing free stories, but writing free stories, you know, F-R-E-E. You know, no money, and you know, giving them away, and even like with promos when you have contests and you give away a book. You know, somebody will get that book, read it, and then like it, and then tell their friends about it. And that's another way that you get the attention.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that I do. I do Tuesday's Tales. And it's every week on Tuesday. And there's a different word prompt for each story. And it's basically flash fiction, you know, 1,000 words, maybe 2,000 words in the story. And they're promoted like crazy. They're apparently very popular. And I get quite a few hits from that alone. And they're free stories. So then when I meet people, it's like, you don't want to buy one of my books because you don't know me. Here's a free story. So this is like no risk. And it works out for me because I get some promo out of it. And then the other person gets something for free. And people like free stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. You know, but I think the short story, I really do. I mean, when I first did my Virginia Templeton, I have them all together in a bundle book where there's three stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a really good way to see if you like your character, if people like the character, and if they do, you can continue on with the character. So I do think short stories are good, and especially because, you know, lunchtime, I mean, you don't really have a lot of time sometimes, and you just want to read a short story. So, I mean, I'm wondering that maybe I should start one of these things where we have a short story type of chat. You like doing the chats. I know you do the little chats.
Oh, yeah, I love the chats. And I love short stories. I think I write more short stories than anything. And, you know, I constantly have them out there, whether they're free or, I mean, some of them are in queues right now in submission calls. And I'm always on the lookout for anthologies because that's a great way also to meet new writers and throw an anthology. You get, 20 different stories on the same topic from a whole bunch of different writers, and you get to try out a little bit of everybody, and that's it's very attractive to readers.
I think it is, you know, and when I did my three stories, the people liked the story, so I thought I'd put them together, you know. I don't know that I'll do that again. I might either do a short novella, you know, together, but it was fun. You know, I guess, you know, people have liked my character, Virginia Templeton, so I will be bringing her back. And I'm doing, like, a lot of my screenplays that I have, I'm doing them in novellas. Now I'm trying to, you know, work that. That's why, you know, I mean, I'm trying to we all have to figure out where we belong, you know. And sometimes it does take a long time to figure out where you belong and where your strengths are.
Yes.
And, you know, but the most important thing is if you really enjoy writing. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yes.
That's why, you know, when people have to do this PR, it does become something that they don't enjoy because they all wanted to write, and that's what happens, you know. And when you stop writing to do PR, it, you know, 1 hour turns into 2 hours. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's great that you put, like, certain, you know, you're great when you do that, when you put restrictions on yourself. That's very good, you know, that you make time to do certain things, and then you don't get unfocused. Which is very good, which is why you probably do a lot of short stories, because you fit them in.
Yeah, I mean, I have there's certain hours, like between 7 and 10 in the morning is my best time for writing fiction. I just get on a roll. And
yeah.
By 10 o'clock, it's like, you know, I don't necessarily stop at 10, but I just kind of stop where the scene wants to end. And
right.
Then it's like, okay, I did enough for a day. I usually aim for at least 1,000 words. And then after that, it's time for a break, and that's when I do some promo, which basically means going on Facebook and goofing off with everybody. And,
right.
You know, I don't
right.
necessarily put up a, you know, oh, buy my book. You know, I'll just come on and say, you know, here's a cat picture, you know, with a silly caption, you know, something like that. You know, I don't even necessarily do that. I'll just talk to people. And, you know, then I go into other people's Facebook pages, and if I like something, I'll always hit like and share, and then that'll come up on the wall. Because
that's the other thing.
Of everybody doing that.
What's happening is a lot of people are sharing with each other. So I think that, you know, I'm
yeah.
trying to share more than I ever did, because I really know that people are not sharing. And I think that's the only way that will help every
mm-hmm.
writer, if we all share, because we all have different friends, we all know different people, different blogs, and I think if you share,
mm-hmm.
it's really a good thing, because it helps everybody. You know,
and liking too, liking on
yeah,
Facebook
yeah.
does the same thing. Plus, you know, people have egos, and then you go onto your Facebook page and you see that somebody you're not all that familiar with liked your post or liked
yeah.
it and shared it. So it's like, oh, who
yeah.
are you?
Yeah.
Somebody liked something that I did, and I'm gonna go and they'll check you out. So, you know, and plus it's like, you know, clicking like on something takes like next to no time.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to actually like it. I mean,
I do spend a lot of time on the phone talking to people, because I do like to talk to my guests if I can, you know, to
mm-hmm.
see what they're about. Because sometimes I, you know, like we've had conversations on the phone. I sometimes feel that you don't know enough about people when you're just on the show with them. I think it's nice we kind of,
yeah.
you know, you know different things about the people that you have on your show. And I do
mm-hmm.
try to do that a lot. And it does take up time, and, you know, but that's part of what I do, because I like to learn a lot, and I have learned a tremendous, since I've been doing shows for the last 3 years, I have learned more than I ever learned in the 15 years before that, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you learn from people. And I think that, you know, every show I learn something, and I'm always taking notes and writing things, you know, because, and somewhere down the line you go, oh, I remember I was going to do something about that, because there are so many sites out there now and so many places
oh, yeah.
that we can go in. It's astronomical. So, you know, we're trying to, like with Bethany and I, what we did with the author's romance is we're just trying to find not just one, you know, press. It's anybody that does romance can be on our blog. And
mm-hmm.
I love to see all these different, you know, how they do it. You know, Francesca from Under the Covers, she's an incredible blog. Kim has a blog, I mean, that has been on my show. And most of my, you know, the romance writers that have been on the shows, I mean, I try to put some of their posts on. That's what I'm doing now, because so other people will see who they are if they hadn't listened
mm-hmm.
to a show, because some people are so, I mean, they're all interesting in their own special way, you know, which is what makes this business so interesting for me, you know, is just finding.
There's so many people and so many interesting things, but only so many hours in the day.
I know.
You
want
to catch all of it, and then it's and the whole thing is, how do you get somebody's attention? And, you know, just about, you know, people
I think
are
like
coming up
right,
with all
know,
kinds
I think
of novel
that's one
ideas.
Of the problems. People don't believe that they, you know, people are starting to know people because the world gets smaller and smaller once you start. There's, you know, the author world is huge. But if you get in the romance, there's so many people in it, you couldn't possibly meet everybody in it. But the fact is that you find out different things. Like, you know, I had my show with, you know, Amanda McIntyre the other day
mm-hmm.
with Kim Rocha, and also I had on C.H. Armand, and she was great, okay? All three of them were there, and we were talking about different things, and then I learned about this Lady Jane Salon, which is such an interesting place. I mean, it's a different segment of the publishing industry. It's so different in different parts of every...
What exactly is it?
Well, in different parts of the country, it's like it is... They're reading stories. They're, you know, presenting different things of romance in different places. So they're going to be on in June, and then it's so interesting because they're going to discuss everything. I just found out about it. I did not know about this, and it's, you know, there's so many people in that, and they are trying to do them in different cities. So it's going to be interesting. They'll explain everything about it because, I mean, I am very curious about a lot of these things. And, you know, luckily I have the show that now, you know, we can call people and say, this is an interesting idea. Come on. And they are, you know. And so it's going to be very interesting because there's always new ideas, you know, and new ways to do it. But I do think... For me, if everybody starts helping each other, I do think we'll be more successful. I know that you've self-published and you've traditionally published. Would you self-publish again?
Yeah, I would. Actually, I just got back a couple of my novels that were I have my rights back. And one of them in particular, all I really need for it is a new cover and a new title. And I'm gonna self-publish that one because it's been published before. So I mean, it didn't really sell all that well at the publisher that where it originally was. But I'd have more control over it if I self-publish it. And you know, I'm slowly starting to get a following now with the fairy tales. And this is a werewolf novel. And I mean, it's a novella. And so yeah, I'm gonna self-publish again. But for me, it depends on what the story is. Like the novel I'm working on now, I want to aim to get that one traditionally published through a publisher. I don't want to self-publish that one yet, if it comes to that. But actually, from what I've heard from everybody, no matter what genre it is, the best way to get attention and to promote yourself is to write something new. That's what I hear from everybody. You have to have something new out there. That's the best promotion for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard.
You have to divide your time up and take time to write and time to promote.
That's the thing. So, I mean, I think for me, I've decided to just, you know, write a lot more than I did. And, you know, I do think that you do have to keep coming out with things because I think if you have fans, they are waiting for your book.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard. And I still don't understand how people, they really come out with things fast. I'm a fast writer, but I'm tough on myself, so it takes me time to make sure that I did it right, and I have to redo it, and over I go. You know, that's just how I work.
Everybody has a different method.
Right,
What worked for me probably won't work for you.
Right,
and, you know, vice versa, that sort of thing.
Right. And I go over and over. You know, I have to make sure that all the ends, this is just how I write, everything goes. But, I have a wonderful editor, Jeff Fleischer he edits, you know, and that's fine for me when I do the editing, you know, that works, when he does my editing. Mm-hmm. But he knows me already, so he knows what to do and what not to do for me. So I don't rely on him to make my story, but I rely on him to put it together great. And he does, you know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have relying on editors to, Marnie, she missed this part of the conversation, but we're going to have, I'll have her on again talking about that because she does edit. And one of the problems is that a lot of people now are planning, they want their editors to end up writing the book. And that does not, you know, they put everything down and it doesn't work well, but they figure, oh, their editor will fix it up. And that is what's happening. So I think if you do that, you could get more books out. You know, and that's not how I write, but that is how a lot of people are writing because there are a lot of editors that have a lot of trouble, you know, working with their clients only because they're expecting miracles out of them.
I see.
And, it does happen a lot. You know,
because I have an editor and I have several beta readers, and I rely on all of them. And the thing I like about the beta reader is that, and, you know, all my beta readers are women, and they'll look at my story, and then it's like having a second set of eyes, because it's like I've told people, I have looked at this story so often, I can insert the word alligator in every paragraph, and I will never see it. But a second set of eyes will notice things that I missed, and some of these things are really embarrassing. And it's like, you know, or another point of view, there was a comparison that I made. I'm not going to say what it was, but there was a comparison that I made in one of my novels, you know, the one I'm working on now, and she said that some people might find it offensive. And I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, my character certainly wouldn't think of it that way, but I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I changed that. And, you know, other little
that's
things
good thing.
Like...
Right, that's a good thing. Yeah, Jeff,
I mean, you need a second set of eyes. That's a mistake that a lot of writers make, is that
right.
they don't have editors. They'll just go write and self-publish it. And that's one reason self-publishing has such a bad rap,
yeah.
is that people
and
don't
And that's
use
not the case, because, right, I have self-published my own, and I have been
mm-hmm.
published, but I have self-published. And, you know, the fact is that, you know, when Jeff does my editing, though, he... edits it for me, and then if there's a question, we talk about it, but I fix
mm-hmm.
it myself. I don't expect him to go and figure out what's in my head as to write the story. And he if he sees something that's wrong, I do listen. And you have to
mm-hmm.
really trust your editor, because you can't go over and over with an editor. I've seen this several times now where people are, they're not, the editor does it, and then they redo it, the author, and then the editor still has to go back and redo it, because once you change
mm-hmm.
as an author, you know that once you start changing things, the whole story changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you
yeah,
have to be
yeah.
aware of that, and
mm-hmm.
that's what happens. And, you know, you can't expect an editor to just go back and look at a few of the things. They don't. They want to go back and make sure everything fits, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they do. So I think, you know, you have to find someone that you trust, and that you like to work with, and that knows you somewhat after if you've done a few books, because they already know your style, you know. And so I think that people,
uh-huh.
instead of just expecting, you know, your editor to fix it up or just go to anybody, you can't just go to anybody. It does not work, you know. Or
yeah,
do
you have,
like
you have to have, there is a bunch of set questions. I can't recall any of them off the top of my head right now, but I have a list of questions that I asked every editor that I interviewed. And part of it was, you know, a lot of them answered the way I wanted to, but then it got down to personality. Who can I
yeah.
get along with? You know, who do I feel comfortable with? Who do I click with? And that's how I chose my editor. And I, you know,
oh,
I hired
you
an
that,
editor.
Oh,
from
that's
my
very interesting.
Field.
You ask them questions.
Oh, yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I ask them questions. And I wish I could remember any of the questions right now. I'm just drawing a complete blank.
No. But the question is, can you get along with your editor, and do you, you know,
mm-hmm.
does he understand what you're writing? You know, if your editor
yeah.
does not understand what you're writing, then you need to find someone else,
mm-hmm.
because if they don't,
oh, yeah.
it's never going to work.
Well, one of the questions I did ask was, do you have a problem with erotic content? Because
yeah.
that was, you know, a lot of writers don't think of asking something like that. So then, you know, you see various words that I'm not going to repeat on the air.
Right, right.
But, you know, some people have...
well, that was one of the things,
because
Jeff has been my editor for years and years, and he did my children's stories, all my stories. And then
mm-hmm.
when I wrote this book that was, you know, erotic, you know, it was a romance, you know, there was a lot of sex
yeah.
in it, and I have not written that before, and I was kind of hesitant, could he handle it? I was like, you know,
mm-hmm.
what a good, and he did a great job. He was wonderful when he wrote, when he
mm-hmm.
did it. So he's a really good editor, because even if, as far as to the shoes that I picked for the character, he goes, well, what does that mean? And what is it? I mean, he was really thorough about it. So, right, you're
yeah.
absolutely right about that. You can't have an editor that doesn't believe in what you're writing. Because, right, if they're going to be shy about what you've written, then you can't do
mm-hmm.
it, because you're putting these words in that are, to some people, you know, they're sensitive to it.
Yeah.
But I it was great for me, because he did a wonderful job, and it was just like he does my other work, because it's a story we were just doing, you know, whatever we had done in the past. And
mm-hmm.
he was fine with it, and that was good. So, you know, so whichever genre that I've been in, my screenplays, he's always been able to do all my work. So I've been
mm-hmm.
lucky that way, because he does know how I write, and he does ask me the questions.
Yeah.
And he does, sometimes I get aggravated, I go, oh, God. And then I go, no, he's right. You know what I mean? So, I
yeah.
mean, like you're saying, you know, sometimes you just don't realize something. You're very close
well,
to the
I'm
situation.
Lucky that I have an editor who can work in multiple genres. So she's done, you know, my erotic romances, and right now she's working on my thriller family saga, which is a behemoth. That thing is huge. So we're trying to get it down to 100,000 words. And I've been working on this book for 10 years. And I put it aside for
wow.
about 5 years when I was doing political writing and feminist writing. Boy, am I glad I'm out of that. And, and so now, boy, was that stuff a headache. But now we're almost finished. We're like about two-thirds of the way through the book. And you know, I'm slowly going through all the edits by myself. And then I'm going to, that one is also going to go out to a traditional publisher. I'm trying to find an agent for it. But I noticed that with each book,
like a different approach works with each book. So, like, you know, for the re-release, I'm going to do self-publishing. And I'll do that again.
I'm an agent for 15 years. I'm an agent for 15 years with Marcus Brand.
Yeah.
That's me, you know, my company. But, you know, there's a lot of things. I'm not taking clients, but there's a lot of publishers now for the e-books and whatever. They're taking people without an agent. So it's a lot. It's changing somewhat, you know. And sometimes it's really good for the author because it's so hard to get an agent. It's hard to get an agent to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
So this way, you know, I think it's not a bad thing to just look at some of these publishers and because of, you know how it is with easy to submit now online, I think you might be able to go to the traditional without an agent yourself. So
that's what I'm doing with the romance books, because I've noticed that the big publishers that I really like that sell most of the books, you don't need an agent to go through.
No, they're saying
so
that, right.
I have my little list, you know, all in order of which publishers I'm going to send. It's called Alex Craig Has a Threesome, and I have my list of publishers, which one is going at the top of the list. I'm going to send it out. The moment it gets rejected, I send it to the next one. So I'm going to send it right out so I don't have time to sulk. And I had my
years, and that was one of the things. I felt so lucky when self-publishing, but then, you know, sometimes it is very nice to have a publisher behind you but from everybody that's been on my shows, they all say the same thing. They still have to go out and do things, and, you know, and they have to do a lot of PR. I mean, that's just everywhere, you know, all authors.
Well, from what I understand, even with the big six, you still have to do most of your own promotions and set up your own book readings and get the book in the library by yourself. Yeah, because
it's very hard to get books in libraries now. Yeah, it depends what state you're in. If you're some of the smaller places, it's easier. But, you know, in Chicago, it is not easy to get. You know, and I mean, a lot of us come free because, you know, authors want to talk to, you know, and certainly in children's, you know, it's really nice. Kids love. And adults, too, love to talk to authors, you know, and I think that, you know, as authors, we like it, you know, and I think that I think one of the things is you can't worry about, Roger Ellery was on Fran's show, and he was also on my show. I don't know if Bethany's still here, but Bethany, you know, she communicates with him a lot. He's a wonderful author. He's in the UK, and he does, and he's so happy to go out and talk to people, and he's a best-selling author. He's wonderful and great person, and it's so much fun. But he goes out there just to talk to his, you know, fans, and he's so happy. So I think what he may have 10, 20, 50 people, but he doesn't need to make sure that he has 200 people out there. It's not, those days are over.
Yeah.
So I think that he's very happy to talk to them, and it was so interesting listening to him because he's talking about the fact that he's very happy to hear their opinion of how he writes. So I think that authors out there forget the fact that if it's not a loud crowd, means it's not good. That's not true. If you talk to 10 people, there are 10 people that could become your fans. And then they have 10 other friends and 10 other friends. That's what he does. And I think that no matter who you are and what you're writing, I think we all have to get to the fact of that we are who we are. We're just like everybody else. And hopefully people buy our books. And we all want that. You know, and by promoting it, we're hopeful of that, but I think sometimes going out to different places may be the answer, you know, really going out and talking to people. So I think that might be, and that's one of the things. I think probably we should close the show soon because we've luckily not been kicked off. Bethany has been kicked off about 10 times already, and it's been a really good show. Elizabeth, you know, I mean, this was an interesting show because you got to talk about other things than you normally do when we have our horror show.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
We talk about this a lot, so you're welcome to come to these shows. I am. I like to find the answers to things that there are no answers to, but I like to give people information, you know. And so for me, it's fun, too, to hear all these new things. And it is called The New Adult. I knew I couldn't remember what it was called. Huge. And it's great that they, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the stories are set on college campuses. And my book, Don't Call Me Baby, the one that just got the Top Pick Award, it's set on a college campus. So apparently they're going to be really, really popular now.
That's so good. That's great. Well, because you know what? They have e-readers and they have, you know, and they have, they're sitting between classes. They're, you know, so it's a good thing. You know, on a bad date, you could read a book like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, that's right. You could ask Madison or Bethany about Life of the Love What can I tell you? All right, thank you so much. You want to give your website before we leave?
Yes, I'm elizabethablack.blogspot.com. I'm also Elizabeth A. Black on Facebook and Twitter. And like I said, my book, my book, Don't Call Me Baby, right now is 25% off until the end of the month at the Naughty Nights Press website and at All Romance eBooks, celebrating getting the top pick.
Yeah,
so it's 25% off.
You know, it's not that easy to get the top pick because you're in competition with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, a lot of competition.
A lot.
Okay. Night Owl is very popular.
Yeah, it is. I know. It is, and that's a good thing. You enter the contest too, and they have a lot of stuff going on.
No, it wasn't a contest.
No, that
just,
one wasn't a contest.
Submitted the book for
review,
and they liked it.
But they have a lot of things.
Contests and everything. They have blog tours, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know, because they are very popular. So maybe one day I'd like to travel. Maybe they come on the show because I've not really talked to them. That might be interesting to see because they do so many different things. So I'll probably try to do that. All right, and I want everybody to have a safe, happy holiday because the holidays start. You know. Thursday, Friday.
That's right. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it is. Okay, and you can find Bethany and myself at worldofinknetwork.com and Bethany Drevdoff again. Thank you, Bethany, for being patient. Keep coming on to keep the show going. We kept it going. All right, so I hope nobody has any storms right now, and I hope the weather gets better for everybody. And thank you all for coming. You know, thank you. I don't know what happened to Karen, but maybe bad weather. I really don't know. Marnie, thank you for coming on. And, okay, Elizabeth, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and Bethany,
you're
not on now, but you might be listening. Thank you for helping. Okay? All right, take care. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.